You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to Two Chunks and a Hunk. Movie musings for mostly everybody. Hello and welcome to Two Chunks and a Hunk. My name is Jordan Wonders, and this week I am your chunk.
I'm Doge, and guys, do you remember how in kindergarten, how you'd meet a kid and know nothing about them? Then 10 seconds later, you're playing like your best friends because you didn't have to be anything but yourself. Do you? Do you remember that?
I do.
I don't.
Hunking with you felt like that.
And I'm Carter, and don't be afraid to chunk the outside J. There's one thing I've learned.
Dude, never mind. I'm going to wait to get into it. Doge, you said the hunk word. Why?
Yeah, tell me about this. I'm excited. We got a tease of what this is.
We got a tease, and this better be good. Just
two words that might mean something to a few of you. Let me lay these on your ears and see how they go down. Chaotic, good.
Okay, sure.
That's me. That's my life now. I was cleaning out my garage yesterday, had a lot of cardboard boxes, filled my recycling bin to the brim, and everywhere I look, still more boxes. So what did I do? I loaded the leftover boxes up in the back of my car.
Wow.
And committed a reverse crime. I reverse stole these cardboard boxes, and I drove to the back of, I don't know what store it was because I saw it from the Target parking lot, a big green recycling dumpster. Mm-hmm. And I reverse stole these from the dumpster behind close to the Target. And that
sounds
means
like just regular stealing. It doesn't sound
that's
like
amazing reverse stealing. Of you.
I reverse stole them because I put them in the recycling dumpster.
Well, you stole them to reverse steal them.
No, they were my boxes. I didn't steal them ever. I only reverse stole them. I ordered something from the internet. It came in these boxes. And then I reverse stole these boxes into a dumpster, big green dumpster for recycling.
I'm going to challenge your alignment here. And I'm going to say that that is 100% chaotic neutral.
It's chaotic good because I'm saving the planet
by committing a crime. That's neutral.
One reverse crime at a time.
Dumping in another man's dumpster is a crime. That's chaotic neutral.
When you put outside foods, so foods not from your house,
right,
leftovers they're called, into your refrigerator, mm-hmm, are you reverse stealing food from that fridge?
Any gift is reverse theft.
Whoa.
And I think we can't move forward until we begin to understand that.
I can't move forward until we correctly use the alignment chart and really understand that this is chaotic neutral.
No, this is a chaotic good move.
It's
Carter,
not a
the DM.
Good.
Carter, would you please let us know where the alignment falls?
Chaotic good would be buying random people random gifts for no reason whatsoever. That's chaotic good. Committing the crime of dumping in a private dumpster for the sake of recycling, that's chaotic neutral.
Part of me feels like it might just be lawful good.
No.
Part of me thinks it might just be lawful good.
No.
I don't know. Maybe it's what we've stumbled upon here is some homebrew content, to be
what
honest.
What we learned here today is that Doge, only one of us is right, but Carter's definitely wrong, is what we learned here today.
Yeah, I don't think this is lawful good. There's nobody who is like, hey, Doge, it's the rules to do this.
Would say that. Smokey the Bear's probably in that area. He's in that part of the Venn diagram.
Crimes. Look, I need a D&D expert at home.
That's not a crime.
I know you're listening. You can't dump in another dumpster. That's what I'm saying. That's my point. That's what makes
but
it
this,
lawful.
What you don't understand is this wasn't a dumpster. It was a recyclester.
Okay.
Because there was no dumping. It was only for recycling.
How'd you get them in there? Did you dump them in?
That's true.
Genuinely, the
you
top was locked.
Them, you placed
the top was locked, so there was a little slot like I was delivering mail. But it was actually quite a big slot because these were big boxes. The patio furniture came in there.
I guess I was thinking too much of it as an actual donation, which people are allowed to put things into.
Oh, I'm going to write it off on my taxes.
I forgot
taxes.
That, dump,
That's
that,
the second
that
perfect
dumpster
crime.
Was somebody else's property, so it is not lawful. Thank you.
But it's my property that I put near. Listen, wherever it ended up, it doesn't matter who owns it. It's still my property.
That's the chaotic part.
That's
of
That's the
isn't
chaotic
it?
Part. And then the neutral part is the committing a crime to save the earth.
But was it a crime?
Yeah.
But do the ends justify the means?
That's the neutral part.
But was it a crime?
Yeah.
I can't get a straight answer. But hang on though.
Was
it
a crime?
It wasn't a crime if it helped someone.
No, that's not true.
Would you steal bread to feed your family?
I'm on that end of this argument. You can't. You just came over to my side of the line in the sand and wagged your finger at where you used to be standing.
So yeah, I'm beginning to go ahead and lay the foundations for organized crime here in North Texas. Me and my boys, we're going to clean up this city one cardboard at a time.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
They call me the kingpin of cardboard.
The crime kingpin of cardboard. I've heard that.
I sit here in my brown tower. There's nothing I won't recycle.
Made of cardboard boxes. It has parapets and a drawbridge. Wow.
Oh, man.
That sounds like something I would have done in the sixth grade, which ironically is when this movie came out. And the movie
is true.
The final movie in our DCOM series. You, dear listener, chose this by, I mean, a country mile.
Yeah, yeah,
that's
a super
biggest
wide
gap
margin.
I've ever seen between first and second.
Virtually every single person that participated in the vote did include this in their list.
Yeah.
Just about. And the movie, of course, if you couldn't tell already,
up and away
is up and away. Oh, I'm sorry. hold on. I'm getting an update from the news desk that's wrong. And the movie,
it's not La La Land. It's Moonlight.
The movie is in fact called High School Musical. As creative of a title as one can get. Now, because this title is so difficult for me to parse, I am going to need help understanding it by way of a synopsis from the old cardboard king of crime himself, Doge.
The thing about High School Musical is that there are so many synopsises on IMDb, and they're all bad.
Mm.
It makes it very hard to choose. This one is written by the mom from Luck with the Irish, Shannon O'Reilly. Shannon O'Reilly writes, Troy Bolton and Gabriella Montez are two totally different teenagers.
True.
They're not even the same person. And they meet at a party while singing karaoke on New Year's Eve. The next week, Troy returns to East High, his high school in New Mexico, to find that Gabriella is a new student there. They quickly become close friends and accidentally audition for the school musical.
Whoops.
They both get callbacks, infuriating drama queen Sharpay Evans and her sidekick brother, Ryan. Then Chad, Troy's best friend and basketball teammate, and Taylor, Gabriella's new friend on the decathlon team, must make Gabriella hate Troy. Credits.
That's it?
That's it.
That's it. That's all Shannon writes.
Wow. Interesting.
I can give you another one. If you're interested to see what Galoosh 16 has to say about
Galoosh?
This.
Galoosh?
I really am, yeah.
Troy Bolton and Gabriella Montez come from two different worlds. Troy the, these are both capitalized, basketball god, and Gabriella the capitalized smart, stunning geek. They meet on New Year's Eve and instantly click. When they meet again at East High School, they accidentally audition for the school musical. The social cliques they belong to don't approve of this new friendship and try to separate them. At the same time, drama queen Sharpay Evans and her brother Ryan, the co-captains of the drama department, try in every way to prevent Troy and Gabriella from beating them in the callbacks. Can Troy and Gabriella lead their friends to more open-minded thinking?
That's really what it's all about, though.
The basketball god.
Basketball god.
Wow.
Ooh.
Unbelievable.
Do you guys remember when this came out?
I do.
I mean, Carter, you didn't watch this when it came out, huh?
No, I was a junior in high school.
Yeah. When it came out or when you watched it for the first time?
When it came out.
When did you watch it for the first time?
So here's what happened. I think I was a junior going into senior year. Like, I think it was really, it might've been a summer release for High School Musical. But I like go my whole senior year, everybody.
Yeah.
Is talking about this and doing it to death. Then I come to my orientation for college. Still, every single folly, every single joke was around High School Musical. And there was some point in my life that I was just like, I'm not going to be mainstream right now.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do it for this. Mm-hmm. But then I watched it, I think, a couple years after that. So it might have been like 2009 when I saw it. I don't remember it vividly.
Yeah. This movie came out January 20th, 2006. So it had the staying power to stick around, is what you're telling me.
That stuck around then for you. That stuck around like 2.5 years then, even 2 years.
Yeah. Wow. It definitely had the staying power because I think, and we'll talk about it, but this was like, I think maybe we can credit DCOMs for the 14 years after it, like their success to this being good. I mean, was this not
they're coasting on High School Musical still?
This had 6 Emmy nominations. Did y'all see that?
No.
High School, like,
well, it's because of Kenny.
Yes.
Has Kenny Ortega.
6 Emmy nominations. Legitimate.
Wow.
It's unbelievable.
1-2 Emmys.
I don't think about made for TV movies being a part of the Emmys. That's funny.
Right?
That's very interesting.
But it happened.
And you know, with a movie like this, I actually mark High School Musical as probably the last good DCOM. And that must be generational.
I think it is generational because we did, before we wrote our poll, we actually did like some just like open-ended, what movies do you hope to see? And there is a clear generational split of like, you know, people of this age say High School Musical and the ones before it. And people of this age say High School Musical and the ones after it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
The end of an era.
Truly. Or the beginning of one, depending on
the beginning of one. Yeah,
who you ask. And much like the way eras begin, movies begin as well. And this one starts at a ski lodge on New Year's Eve.
This is the first time I've watched this movie since January of 2006.
No way. You didn't watch this when Disney Plus came out?
No.
Oh, this is the second time I've watched it in a calendar year.
I did not. Jess watched it when it came out, but I did not.
I've seen this movie a bunch of times.
I was convinced we started the wrong movie when it opened with snow.
Same. Because it felt too holiday vibe, right? I had also just watched another holiday movie for this podcast. I was like, right? Really?
Again?
Yeah.
And I want to take a moment to speak to the worst actor in this movie.
Oh, I know who it is.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. He was almost my super dump. He's not. He almost was. Troy's dad sucks so bad.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about
the karaoke host.
No, not even him. Did y'all notice the kid with the Viking helmet on?
No. Mm-hmm.
Oh yep. My goodness. What a little, what was the tag of the person who wrote the review about it? Guskadoosh.
Oh, he's a galoosh.
He's a galoosh. He's a
total galoosh. Isn't that the little green alien from the Flintstones?
Total galoosh.
Yeah, maybe. No, Troy's dad is in a movie of young kids absolutely phoning it in. Troy's dad is so bad. It is honestly unbelievable. There's a part about midway through where he's like, "Where's Troy's dad?" And like the aggression with which he yells that does not match the situation in
the
slightest.
He yelled it like a Muppet. Like he just looked like, it was just like, oh, blah, blah.
Like he hinged, his mouth hinged back at the ears.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
While we're talking about bad actors.
Great
guys.
Hair though, really great hair.
Yeah, good head of hair. Good head of hair on his shoulders. Mm-hmm. While we're talking about bad actors.
Sure.
May I super dump.
Wow.
The easiest
so quick
super dump maybe in Two Chunks history for me.
No.
Is what? Vanessa Hudgens.
Oh yeah, she's really? Pretty rough.
She's a bad actress in this, a bad dancer in this, and a bad singer in this, which ordinarily, if you're just a regular person who happens to be bad at those three things, it's not a big deal. But those are actually the only three things she's supposed to be doing
right.
for this hour and a half. And she's not good at any of them. Her face does not ever change. Even one time. Her eyebrows don't even move. It's like Taylor Lautner Twilight 2 levels of unbelievably terrible acting.
Yeah it's pretty bad. Her singing is rough.
Her singing is terrible.
Not for singing's sake, because
my fairy tale. Like, it's so auto-tuned,
okay,
dude.
My super dump, if it has one molten core where it's all the gravity collapses, song. It's that solo song.
Dude, that song is that the song worst. It's so
sucks.
Bad.
The choreography is so bad. That's that time slows to a complete stop.
Her
when
chunky
she starts
belt's
singing
pretty
that song.
Cool, though.
Yeah. It's the only solo, right? Is it the only solo in the
I think
movie?
So.
That sounds
I think
right.
so.
Yeah, I think it doesn't help her that she is sharing most of her screen time with Zach, who I...
Child prodigy.
On like a Von Detten level, like for what he's doing for a Disney, like original...
He's got that charm, baby.
He's got, like, I get it. Like, this kid became... Yeah,
he did a good job.
Zac Efron's just magnetic, man.
Yeah.
He's not good magnetic. In this movie, but no. I eat up every bite
he wasn't
on the plate.
Wasn't enough of a tenor for this movie, literally. Like, yeah. They've only got him there for the charisma. That's the only reason he's here. He's a surrogate for the music.
I belong to the clean plate club when it comes to Zac Efron. I enjoy every single morsel. I lick the plate clean. He's fantastic even when he's bad. I love
him. He's fun. He dances. Most of his dance energy is in his arms.
Dude, his arms and his knees. That little like knee thing he does or his knees touch is out there, man.
Yeah, it's so good.
And whenever he's got this one move he does in basketball where he hits one dribble, picks up the ball, and then takes an enthusiastic step forward to talk to somebody. Yeah. And he pulls that particular trick out of his hat about 9 times in this movie, dude.
Do you think he would win in like a one-on-one on the court against our boy from Smart House? And
dude, I think Zach has it in the bag. Actually, I think Zac Efron's short.
I know how to find out.
I don't know.
Can I guess?
I think it'd be an interesting match.
Yeah, guess. Let's see
my
how close
guess
you get.
For Efron is 5'9".
Carter, what's your guess?
That was my guess too.
Oh, nice.
I'm gonna say 5'10".
5'8".
Oh, I wish it had gone the other way.
So Carter has a score of 2 inches. Jordan has a score of 1 inch.
Do they have Ryan Merriman's height? Is he important enough to have that? Because my guess is 6'1".
No.
Yeah.
He's 5'11". He's 5'11".
So? It's probably a safer bet.
Yeah.
I don't play it safe. I never do.
He's 6'1".
Oh! What? Are you kidding?
I mean, he wasn't in Smart House.
Jordan, you super fan.
I guess he's
a B positive blood type?
Now I don't enjoy sports video games. I think they're quite boring. But I really want to get NBA 2K20 or whatever the latest one is, just so that I can make Troy Bolton and Ryan Merriman and make them do one-on-one to see who wins.
Dude, that would honestly be pretty 2K incredible.
2K20?
Yeah, I don't know why you said it like that.
That's how far off you are. It's just the year. It's just 2K20.
Which is 2K20. That's the same thing.
I mean, nobody calls it that.
That's funny.
I can't roast you. It's a movie podcast. I'm out of my element.
That's true.
So something that happened the very beginning of this, and it's the first time, this might have been my second or third watch, but when we have our meet cute...
Over a holiday.
Well, they do meet.
Yeah. Over a holiday in which they meet each other again because she joins his school. I was thinking to myself, well, this is Greece. This is
right.
This is absolutely Greece. And then the research finds that this was meant to be basically this script started as what would be like Greece 3, which was going to have Greece 3 or 4, which was going to have our leads. Children meet and kind of go through the same thing that iconic duo did. And so it was like, oh my goodness. It was kind of interesting to see it in that lens.
Isn't that wild?
It is so very much.
That's the one piece of feedback I distinctly remember my mom giving 14 years ago when this came out, 15 years ago. We turned it off and she was like, baby, that was just Grease for kids.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, I think you're right, mom. I mean, as a sixth grader, I didn't know that. But as an adult, yeah, mom, you're absolutely right. You should start a podcast.
I think it was.
Come on, Jen.
That is interesting. Just kind of the repackaging of a classic, but giving it to a completely different demographic.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how many movies have been like that just were super successful because they were carbon copied and given to somebody completely different. I don't know.
I found myself wanting, and maybe it's just because I believe this is the perfect high school movie. I found myself wanting 10 Things I Hate About You level of like this story is playing out differently. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
right.
They're in their drama class, right? And one of the first things that the teacher, who is totally not Moira Rose, says is that we're going to be looking at Shakespeare And like, why are they not doing a like a musical modern production of Romeo and Juliet? And
right.
like, this is like, we play with that story a little bit. I don't know. And that's a totally different script, right?
Because we get a balcony. We do get
yeah,
a balcony.
Yeah, that's
get
the thing that made me be like, okay, why is he not down there saying Vanessa Ann Hudgens, Vanessa Ann Hudgens, wherefore art thou, Vanessa Ann Hudgens?
That probably while we're confusing. Here, Gabriella?
Yeah.
Gabriella.
Has a fireplace in her bedroom. So did y'all notice that?
No.
Yes.
She had a nice...
What?
Columned fireplace in her bedroom.
Dude,
so
what company does her mom work for? That house, I mean, you literally can't see the edges of it at yeah, any point.
Also,
you don't
also,
ever see a corner.
Right? For all we know, Gabriella is smart enough to work for NASA the way they have her.
Dude, hold on. Let's talk about that though. Because she one of the first things she says to her mom in this movie is, I'm just tired of being the freaky genius girl. It's like, hey, I promise nobody has thought that like it is insane.
I would love a turn.
Me.
I mean, if that's such a heavy burden to bear, heavy is the head that wears the freaky genius girl crown.
I would love
I'll
to
take
be
a turn.
Yes, please.
Dude,
oh my goodness.
Freaky genius girl is
yeah,
she's self-described.
Yeah.
So here's my super dump. Are you ready?
Yes.
My super dump, even though it's a high school movie, and I have to be careful not to expect too much depth from a DCOM. That's not what they're for. Right, we'll have some stuff in there that's meant to teach us some lessons, and sometimes we can pick up on those, but it's not as potent as Pixar.
Right, sure.
But the fact that our people are two leads that are having to work against all of the titles that they've been given in the world and just kind of move
freaky
on and do
genius
something.
Freaky genius girl, basketball
neither
god.
Of them, neither of them are struggling, nor are they super relatable to me, right?
No.
Again, I'm watching this as an adult, but if I was watching it right when it came out, or let's even give me the, what do you think is hitting the nose for a DCOM? What age? 14?
Yeah. Well,
15?
I think between 11 and 15.
Yeah, I was going to say fifth grade in freshman year, so somewhere
so
in that range.
I'm
sounds
not,
like 13.
I can't, it's like gorgeous guy who's really good at one thing, but he's discovered he's really good at another thing.
Right.
Really pretty girl that's really good at something, but now she's discovered she's really good at something else, but people keep making fun of her for wanting to do
other
things.
For being good
things.
At something.
Yeah, and I was just kind of, that it's not
dude,
relatable. And again,
I love the beginning when Troy is like, no, dude, I don't sing. I don't, living in my own. Like, it's so.
Yeah. Oh, the beginning. I loved that though. That was enough cheese for me that I was like, this is great.
This movie is a can of Cheese Whiz turned upside down, dumped directly onto a delicious Ritz cracker. It is so cheesy in the best
yeah.
way.
Yeah. It's very good.
It really did remind me that the two things that I feel like we've said every episode is that these are such time capsules.
Yeah.
Right? Like I could smell the 2006 through my TV. It made me like cringe and be like, I don't want it to ever be 2006 again.
It smelled like Axe body spray and 3D Doritos.
Yeah. It to me, 2006 will always and forever feel like the little candy vending machines in the mall that you put a quarter in,
crank
and twist it, and like you get runts or gummy worms.
I haven't thought about 3D Doritos. Oh, I need a moment. Oh, wow.
Do you guys
They're
remember?
Known colloquially as Doritos.
Do you guys remember when Cheez-Its and Chips Ahoy and I think Oreos did the little like nuggets and they were just called yeah. Grips?
Grips with a Z?
Yeah.
Just grab yourself a grip.
I would take those with my lunch all the way into high school. I don't even remember what I was saying.
The early 2000s were such a great time for pouch-based snacking or tube-based snacking. You got gushers.
Speaking
you got
of snacks,
grips,
okay, we were talking about cheese. Okay, here's what
back,
I was
we're
saying.
We're back. We're back. We're back.
Here's what I was saying.
Skippy we've peanut
said
butter
every time
in the tube.
We've said every time that these are time capsules, and it's very 2006 within the frame of this film. Also, we've talked about how these are Hallmark movies for kids.
Yep.
And this to me felt more than any of the others. I think because it is first and foremost a romance story.
Yep.
I could feel the Hallmark vibes. It felt like Melissa Joan Hart and DJ Tanner were in the living room with me.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that too.
And there are a lot of moving parts in a movie like this for kids. There's a lot of overacting. There's a lot of underacting. There's a lot of hamming it up. And I want to talk about the greatest ham, the honey-baked ham, the prize jewel in the crown of this movie. I want to talk about my super pump. And it shocked okay. even me. My is super it? Pump for this movie is Lucas Grabeel, a.k.a. Ryan Evans.
Okay.
A.k.a. Mr. Let me go ahead and put this film on my back.
No.
Yes.
Okay.
Dude.
I'll give you the super pump, but this young man does not put the film on his back.
I know. Hyperbole is my thing, Carter.
Look at his history.
This. But he
has had no success trying to put movies on his back. But
no.
Yes.
It's Zac Efron that puts the movie on his back. Let's be clear. But
yes,
dude, on his eyes and his cheekbones.
Ryan is the funniest person in this entire movie, and I did not appreciate his timing as a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's another level. He should have been about 8 years younger so that he could be Smart House and Luck of the Irish.
Dude.
And I know that's maybe blasphemy to some to replace who our lead was there, but like, yeah.
All those Ryan Merriman stands.
Yeah, he is. It feels like... it feels like Ashley was on his coattails at least. I'll give you that in terms of the duo.
100%.
He was significantly more talented in all of the dancing, singing, acting than his counterpart.
He should have been Sharpoe.
Sharpoe.
He should have had that role. They should have just flipped it.
Sharpe and Expo.
Anytime she was funny was because she did that thing.
So this laugh right here, this Doge laugh, marks the beginning. If you look at your watches, this is the beginning of nighttime energy. It just started.
Yeah, it just started.
Absolutely. That's the worst joke I've ever heard in my whole life.
Yeah. That's pretty bad. Yikes. Look, I'm not done talking about Ryan. I'll never be done talking about Ryan, and I'm going to push through this. Anytime Sharpay was funny, it was because she ping-ponged off of the perfect serve delivered by Ryan.
Yeah. He was what you would call a playmaker.
Is that
a
thing?
Genuinely.
I played basketball. Is that a thing? I had never heard anybody on a team referred to as a playmaker.
I played upwards basketball and church league basketball, so Jesus Christ was the playmaker.
Carter just left. Carter is literally gone. Carter heard upwards, shook his head, and walked off of the screen. Amaze. You okay?
Yeah, I'm back. I had too big of a guffaw about Expo that I had to just... cover my mouth and get it out. I just had to get it out.
Did Ryan come across as funny in your respective watching situations?
Oh yeah, he was great.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the gap between him and Ashley Tisdale is bigger than what Zac Efron was to Vanessa Hudgens.
Enormous. Yes.
Yeah.
And I really think that's why, as mentioned, I believe before we started recording, we just moved on to High School Musical 2 last night after we watched this movie, and Ryan
there's so much more of him in that one?
Like a significant portion of screen time in High School Musical 2.
I've never seen it. Maybe we'll watch it after we're done recording tonight.
Doesn't he have a solo in that one?
I think so. He is not, or the movie is not as good, but he's just as good. He stays at the tip top of his game. I've never seen 3, good. But I have to imagine he's crushing it there too. He just sort of crushes it across the board.
Of the four singing leads, how is he the one that had no career after this?
My guess is he's a one trick pony, and that this
is
plays
he can
into
do drama boy. That's pretty much it. Yeah, maybe.
That's my guess. He's perfectly suited for this. I mean, he absolutely
wonderful.
Crushes it, but I can't see him delivering leading man energy.
He is the only one in this movie that actually feels like somebody I knew in high school.
Yeah.
You know, everybody else is like pretty exaggerated, and I think that's valid, and there's a reason for that. But he actually, like, I can think of a couple people that I went to high school with that was like, oh yeah, that's him, basically.
Look, I'll move on from talking about Lucas Grabeel, but before I do that, I do just want to say he delivers the best line in the entire movie, which is right after they sing Bop to the Top, and she says, "I told you not to do the jazz squares," and he, out of breath, pants to Ashley Tisdale. Everyone loves a good jazz square. It's a crowd favorite.
Yeah. It felt like the lines that he delivered were outside of DCOM energy.
Yes.
Because they were good.
Yes.
Because it was like, oh, this is for like a crowd like now. Like this is funny stuff. But yeah, one more thing that I thought that was like worth bringing up, and we've done so much Disney on this podcast, and we have talked about to an extent the... I don't know if I would necessarily call it full progression, but like Disney has a history of like some pretty kind of bad stereotyping and things like that.
Yeah.
Like, did y'all see about Grabeel and Kenny Ortega were wanting this character? They wanted him to be written as a gay character.
Oh, really?
Which would have been a huge deal for a DCOM.
In 2006, certainly. Yeah.
Much less Disney. And that it made me really sad. And it wasn't my super dump, but it definitely made me feel like if they had allowed this, like what would that have done for the gay community? Honestly, because you've got a guy who is like in a high school setting and like would not have been afraid to just like be written as that. But Disney said no.
Oof.
So you had the director and the actor saying, it really feels like, and when you look at the character as a whole, he could definitely lend himself to that.
Oh, certainly. Yeah.
And so it was, yeah, I just thought that's worth bringing up. Cause I don't know how many times people talk about this movie and talk about that.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's a big whiff on Disney's part to just not let that be the character that the people who had the most creative, you know, investment in it wanted it to be. So
sure. You know, I haven't kept up with Disney Channel original movies much beyond this, and I don't know.
Sure.
My guess is that would still probably be a pretty big deal at Disney. My guess is they still probably have not. I don't know. Maybe they have introduced a gay character on the Disney Channel. I'm not confident in saying that they have not. I know that Disney was home to a smattering of hurtful stereotypes for a while. And so my hope,
not to mention Walt himself.
I'm even talking about Disney Channel, like shows and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like there were hurtful stereotypes. I mean, I have to imagine they were hurtful. And so it would have been pretty interesting. This would be a different conversation if in 2006, this had been the handling of a gay leading character in a Disney Channel original movie and it had been done well. I mean, we would be having a different conversation about this movie is my guess. This would be.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. And it's, you know, there were so many moments where I was like, you know, I wonder if this was getting the wheels turning for the writers of Glee. Like there were so many things see the influence that High School Musical would have had things on. And then I thought of all the other great high school movies that we've reviewed, you know, Mean Girls, 10 Things I Hate About You. And all of those, part of what they hang their hat on in terms of being really good are just really pointing out the differences.
Sure.
Stereotypically and demographics within high school. And it felt like that this was one of the most one-note high school demographics I have ever seen.
Status quo
We are in Salt Lake City and we're just kind of all wealthy. You know, it's just it was like wealthy and talented and that was it.
Yeah. So the song Status Quo wanted to do that. Status quo.
It's like, I play cello. It's like,
Well, okay. And hey, let's do
your
this.
Family can afford a cello. Silver spoon.
There's a good conversation to be had about the song Status Quo, and we're going to have it after shout announcements. Living in shout announcements. I didn't understand that anything could happen in shout announcements. See, I changed the pronunciation of the word to rhyme the second time. A lot of people don't
know what's
think
crazy
about
that. That wasn't even Jordan singing. That was Drew Seeley.
Yeah. They had to bring him in.
Is it Seeley or Steely?
Yeah.
It's too bad.
I'm actually too much of a tenor for that particular line of singing. It's sort of the opposite of Efron Steele. Equally muscular though, which is fun. Shout announcements.
As 16-year-old Zac Efron. Yeah.
Dude, he's so noodly.
I'm just as ripped as this kid.
The fun part about shout announcements is that it is the part of the show where we give shout outs and make announcements. And boy, do we have some absolute doozies for you. I can't even decide what goes first, and it's going to be me because the other two are way more exciting than this, which is still exciting because we here at Two Chunks and a Hunk, we know how many of you are listening. Every single one of you. Yeah, I'm talking to you. Uh-huh. You hear me. I know you're listening. And I know statistically that many of you have not taken the 30 seconds necessary to leave a rating and review on iTunes for us. Please, please go do that. It would mean the world seems too big. No, I'll say it. I'm not afraid. It would mean the world to us. And while you're at it, your phone's already open. So why don't you go ahead and hop on over to Instagram. Give us a follow at Two Chunks and a Hunk. Check out all the beautiful artwork and fun interactivity offered therein. You're going to love it. I promise. Go do those things.
Go do those things and do a little bit of that. I don't know if you can. Here's what you need to do. Okay. Hopefully you've got what you're listening to us is portable or loud enough that you can move around. Open up the door really quick. I just want you to open up your front door or the back door. It's fine.
Any door.
Listen really closely. Do you hear that? Is that the beginning of a class? I swear that's not me. You're hearing that outside. We are streaming. I was so It was so, all the pressure was building because it was such a good transition. We're streaming A White Christmas. Here's what's happened. If you listen to our most recent Mini Monday, you did find out that we are going to do new streaming, made for streaming platform Christmas movies this holiday season. Mm-hmm. And we just very recently had the convo as to what all we're going to do. It's going to be exciting.
Yeah.
And it's definitely something you're going to want to tune in for to get you into that holiday spirit, which begins with the first episode. I'm doing this slowly to kind of live in the moment that I'm about to say this out of my mouth. We will be reviewing Feliz Navidad, starring Mario Lopez. We all watched this movie, and it was an experience like I have never felt.
Dude, it was surreal watching that title card come up. Feliz Navidad, starring Mario Lopez.
Yeah, for sure. It was a surreal moment, and that's absolutely an episode you are not going to want to miss, and especially right there at the beginning of a series that is going to be one of your better gifts this year.
And the best thing about Two Chunks and a Hunk, this movie podcast, is that around here, gifts don't stop at Christmas. They keep going. If you recall, last January, we launched our Patreon. So now we have several of you who have decided to become official chunkies.
I would say more than several.
We have two several.
We got ourselves a little chunky family growing.
You know this.
Decided to join our family. We're your three cool dads, and we're super grateful for each of you. And to celebrate the 1 year birthday of our Patreon, this coming January, we're going to be unveiling new ways to connect with us over there on that platform. We're going to unveil a second tier of membership, and it will cost just a little bit more money a month. But you will get just a little bit more of these three honeys.
How?
And so more money for more honeys. You know, that's what I always say.
How will they connect with us?
Jordan, I'm so glad you
Me
asked.
Me too.
And I didn't even have to feed you that question. It just rose organically, pesticide free from the earth. Discord. Discord is the answer.
The rhythm of that sentence took me by surprise.
Yeah, so we're gonna launch a Discord channel where you can pop in there for that second Patreon tier. That's the tier above Official Chunky. You'll be able to pop in and you'll be able to say, "Hey, Pod Boys 3, have you watched 2018's Dr. Seuss's The Grinch starring Benedict Cumberbatch?" And two of us will say no, but Jordan will say yes. And then you can say, "Jordan, was it good?" And Jordan will probably also say yes to that, I think.
I will.
Was it good? You liked it?
I did. I did, actually.
Yeah. He rated it pretty high. Yeah, it's going to be fun, too. I'm going to just do it so it's written in stone. There's definitely going to be at least one channel on there for fan art. So be ready for that, too. You can finally submit all of your doodles and your paintings of us or things that are us adjacent, and feel free to share those.
Yeah, super, super looking forward to that. I think it's going to be a super fun way to connect with all you guys. As always, you can find all the details about anything that we've talked about during show announcements over at twochunksandahunk.com. There's some great navigation bars up there at the top. Take you to our merch store, take you to review our podcast. You can look through past episodes. Boys, do we have anything else?
I think maybe that second half of the movie.
Let's
handle that.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes. So doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com.
Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
It's time to talk about the status quo. Mm-hmm. You better stick to it.
Stick to it, dude.
This song begins a troubling pattern in this movie for me. A troubling pattern that exemplifies what is my super dump for this movie.
Okay.
And my super dump is how bad Troy and Gabriella's friends suck.
Yeah, they're super duper manipulative.
Like it is even for a Disney Channel like a Disney Channel movie, so shallow and stupid their logic that they use, that like I don't see how they all come out of this still okay and friends and don't have to have a pretty serious talk about boundaries and how bad that was.
Yeah.
And you start to see some of that here in Status Quo, where everybody, I know it's a high school movie, whatever, but everybody's like, no, you can't like to bake, you play basketball. No, you can't play the cello, you're a skater. And that one dude's like, a saw? So there's just, there's a lot going on in this song that honestly, kind of a bop, but.
Hey, this is my super pump, this scene.
It's because
very of
fun.
How much of a bop this
it's
song
very
is.
Fun.
The choreography rules too.
Yeah.
Yeah. The scene itself is great.
This scene made me realize how much, we've talked before, seems like at least 4 or 5 times an episode about how we all have season tickets to Dallas Summer Musicals.
We talk about it way too much.
This scene made me realize how much I miss going to see musicals in the before times.
Man, yeah, for sure.
But then also thinking about sitting there in the performance hall with other people and none of us have a mask on because we didn't know we needed them.
Yeah.
You know, this was a year ago. None of us wore masks.
Yeah.
Gives me the most extreme levels of discomfort. Imagine putting myself in that situation.
The last one of those you and I saw was the night before the announcement was made to shelter
to work
in
from
place
home,
and
everybody
work from
stay
home.
Yep.
So
yeah,
come from
same,
away.
Same.
Welcome to the Rock.
So my super pump is the music and choreography.
Kenny Ortega.
This was a Billboard, literal Billboard chart like soundtrack. Like it did really, really well.
Yeah.
And sold several millions of copies. Mm. But yeah, it's right there with the super dump that, and I've already stated it, but essentially like it was such a, all of our lessons were so diluted. Like they were so,
totally.
They were so far from obvious. You know, it was like, if they gave us any kind of discrimination, they did it in a way that was just so glossed over kind of. It was like,
yeah,
it could have been a lot more, I think. But yeah, there's so much about I was dancing.
Can we talk about Kenny Ortega for a little bit? We've said his name a bunch of times as like a punchline. So I remember on Disney Channel leading up to this movie, they made, I mean, genuinely like the biggest deal.
I will never forget this. For my whole life, I will never forget this.
Every commercial for High School Musical was like, and guys, Kenny Ortega.
We got Kenny for one of
and
these.
I remember as a kid being like, whoa, who? This guy was he Michael Jackson's?
He was Michael Jackson's tour choreographer.
Yep. He was the director of the Winter Olympics opening ceremony, the 19th Winter Olympic opening ceremony.
I don't want to dunk on this dude's skill set. This dude is clearly talented.
Choreography's great
I'm
in this.
I'm just saying, Disney Channel as a primary market for young tweens, making a big deal about Kenny Ortega feels like the wildest decision to make.
Disney Channel had me, a 12-year-old boy in East Texas, fully convinced that Kenny Ortega was the biggest possible get for a broadcast television event.
For real. I was like, dude, they got Kenny?
Jess was telling me when we got to All in This Together, she was like, when she was asking me, if I watched, do you guys remember, I guess Carter, you probably wouldn't, Jordan, you might, about 2 months after this came out, a month after it came out, maybe they did that special presentation where it was like the movie. And then it was this whole dance class with Kenny Ortega where they taught you the choreography to every one of the dance
numbers.
I don't
remember that one. They did a High School Musical sing-along that I remember where the words bounced through the bottom like karaoke. I remember that one.
Jess told me that she and her family taped the choreography one onto a blank VHS so they could practice the High School Musical choreography. Presumably, if they ever found themselves in a smart house situation where they're like, welcome to my party, we have to dance together.
They needed Kenny Ortega.
In the pilot smart episode of Modern Family, one of Phil's points about how he's a good dad is that he knows all of the dance moves to High School Musical. And he proceeds to perform part of We're All in This Together. Which, by the way, is, I think, a two-way tie. We're All in This Together is one of my two favorite songs in this movie.
Yeah,
what's
I'm not,
the best song in this
I'm
movie,
not done with Kenny Ortega yet. He directed 12 episodes of Gilmore Girls.
What?
He directed Hocus Pocus. He directed Newsies. Mm-hmm. What on earth? He did a remake of Dirty Dancing. But outside of that, like, yeah, he was big time music video boy.
Did we talk
boy.
About
but
Kenny Ortega directing Hocus Pocus?
I think I okay. did. Did I not bring that up?
Maybe no
I
said it to Jess. Must have. And he wasn't done with Disney Channel original movies. He's done Descendants, too. So, yeah, there you go.
Descendants was one of the ones that showed up in the post-High School Musical generation. Everybody in like that kind of crop of people younger than us was like, you guys have to do this movie. Maybe we need to do another DCOM series and watch the ones that we were too old for.
Mayhap.
I'll talk about Brink twice. I'll talk about Brink three times. I'll do a whole Brink series. I don't even care.
I edited the Brink episode today, and if I hear you say the word Brink one more time, I'm going to scream.
Was it pretty good, though? Because I feel like it's a pretty great episode.
You certainly had a really intense energy for that one.
I stand by it. I stand by it. I'll fight to the death. It, much like Troy would fight to the death for the love of his life, Gabriela Montez. Look.
Didn't you name one of your horses Gabriela Montez in Red Dead Redemption?
I did do that, yeah.
That's all I was thinking last night while I watched this.
I did do that. Red Dead Redemption 2, to be exact. But yeah, no, that did
sure,
happen.
Yeah.
That was real. That was not a dream. So there's problems at this school. Every school has problems. They're run by people and people are human, but there's problems at this school and it's scheduling.
Yeah.
So we've got, we've got audition callbacks during a game, which means one of those two is at a weird time.
No, they moved the callbacks. Sharpay and,
Ryan, put some respect on
it. I was going to say Mark, but his name is not Mark. It's Ryan. Sharpay and Ryan got it moved to be during the game.
That's still a scheduling problem.
I thought with scheduling problems, you were going to talk about how short their class periods are.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Because their class period's about shortly after they walk into their drama class, maybe within 4 minutes, they're walking out. The bell has rung. I was like, are they doing home? Is it home class? Is it like your home? Because I remember that. I remember like
homeroom.
Okay,
you know what? It might be homeroom.
Yeah, everybody check into the homeroom.
That might be homeroom, actually, because I don't feel like Troy or Gabriella would take drama as an elective.
Do you do homeroom in high school?
I did homeroom in fifth grade only.
Yeah, I don't know.
Schools, man. Who knows, really, how any of it works?
Carter, if any of us would know, it would be you.
That's true.
You're the school boy.
But Troy's dad works at this school and seems pretty clueless as to the inner workings of the way the school functions. But then we also have the science something. I don't really fully. So again,
slumber party.
We have another instance here of big game syndrome where it's just sort of a generic big championship. And then we've got big game syndrome bleeds down into science and it's sort of the science big game, but we don't really know what it is for
real. We don't
real.
Need to.
No, it's a decathlon.
Is that what it is? It's like academic decathlon?
Yeah.
And then we also have the callbacks. So we have ourselves a doozy of a day.
You know what's wild,
tell
though?
Tell me.
Is that in High School Musical, we never actually see a single rehearsal or performance of the musical.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that
it's
until last night.
It's a movie
night.
About
Again,
getting cast in a
it.
Musical, not a musical
it's
itself.
It's a movie about we're going to do a musical now. As soon as this is over,
when
we're going to do a musical.
This one's done, we're doing a different one, just so everybody knows.
Isn't that wild?
And also, the songs exist both in-universe and in a meta sense as well.
What is that called when music takes place within the frame of a narrative? Is it diegetic?
Only you would know that on this podcast.
Oh, I thought you were going to be like, only you can prevent
diegetes. Yep. So a good example of diegetic music is like the Cantina Band in Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
That's music our characters are hearing. Every single song in this straddles the line between a musical song and a diegetic song that is actually
Dude,
existing
like
in the universe of this film.
Get your head in the game was that the coach had to walk in and be like, what are you guys doing?
This is not a play. don't run this play.
Can you please practice basketballs now?
I remember as a young boy looking at my mom and dad when that scene came on and was like, they just talked a whole lot of crap about how they hate singing. And now they're all singing together and dancing.
To be fair, I think the only one that sings
that's classic
is
Disney,
Troy.
Though.
All the rest of them are just like, you gotta get your head. Like, it's just like sort of a rap, but not quite.
Get your head in the game.
Speaking of people in that number, have we gone this whole episode without talking about Corbin Blue?
Yeah, we have.
It's what are we thinking,
it's
guys?
It's one of my favorite chicken dishes, I'll tell you that.
I knew you were going to say that.
I had it locked and loaded if he didn't. So.
You know, one of the most interesting bits of trivia was that he actually wrote the slogans that were on the shirts
I
that
bet
he wore.
In 2006, and I would have thought those shirts were pretty funny.
I bet you would have. I have my own background music, I think was one of them. And he also, did you see the one about the watches?
Yeah.
Did you read that trivia?
Yes, that's funny.
So he wore all three watches when he had the option to wear.
I didn't notice.
He had to just pick his favorite one.
I didn't notice that he was wearing three.
I did once.
Until he was like, we got to synchronize. And I thought it was a bit that he was doing. Like, we got to synchronize our watches. So he wore three of them.
That's so funny. So he is currently 31 years old.
That's younger than I thought.
Taylor Lautner is 28 years old. I want them to do a movie together so badly. I don't know what it would be. The closest I've come is Starsky and Hutch.
Okay. Is it the hair?
Maybe. I'm just trying to think of iconic pairs that would be good. Bert and Ernie, the movie,
Tom
maybe.
And Jerry.
I'm not sure. Have you seen that Tom and Jerry trailer, though?
No.
What a fever dream. Oh, my God. It looks terrible.
Is this real? It's that Hanna-Barbera universe.
Is it actually happening?
Yeah.
Remember, we mentioned it during Scooby-Doo that was going to be a part of the Hanna-Barbera
universe. I've blocked most of that out of my brain, if I'm being honest with you.
It's terrible. It looks like the cheapest movie ever made.
I know that we have a tendency on this podcast to sing too much anyway, but never more have I just wanted to bust out into, why am I feeling so wrong? My head's in the game, but my heart's in the song. Like, dude, it is so intense, that moment of mental clarity that he experiences in the middle of get your head in the game. He ends it with yikes. And I just don't know that I can think of another musical that has our main character go yikes to get us back into sort of the musical number. And I just don't want to pass that
by. The lyrics to this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Just the lyrics in general.
Yeah.
Like, for how much of a big deal Kenny Ortega is, his standards for lyrics to dance to are not that high.
You don't need that, dude. Most chart topping pop songs, the lyrics are just
okay.
You know?
Boomer.
We're just here to dance. We're here to dance. We're here to, like, you know, we're here to move our arms,
move our arms, knock our knees together.
Absolutely. Yeah.
We're just here to listen to Chubby Checker.
R.I.P.
Dang. R.I.P. for real.
Boy, nighttime energy.
The second
best
song. No, I want to talk about real quick the rule that says that when the scoreboard messes up, you have to evacuate your gym. That's what I want to talk about.
You have to get out
before we move on.
Yeah.
And we get another child hacker here, but then also at no point is anybody like, hey, wait a minute. Did you guys set off the bad chemicals and sabotage the high school championship game so that you could come sing a song? You're in trouble now. It's just fine.
Right.
But it's
we're
all
together.
Fine.
We're together.
Because we sing.
So is that a 4-for-4 child hacker to
no? I think it's 2 out of 4. We got Smart House and we got this one.
We got Xenon.
Oh, Xenon.
There's
the
worm and Xenon.
So we're 3-for-4. Nothing or 3-for-5 if you count Brink. Nothing in Brink.
There's no hacking in Luck of the Irish.
I believe so.
I thought there was. I guess there's not.
They don't hack the chip, the potato chip.
No, they go on a tour and sneak away.
Okay.
Gotcha. Now there's a couple more things we have to hit very briefly. Coming to the end of this episode. And one of them, we have to talk about the first audition process.
That was kind of funny.
It's
to me.
Very
Some
funny.
Of it was funny. Yeah.
Everybody was funny during that part, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I laughed at literally every audition. In particular,
part of it was
the
like,
girl who I think probably has to be a good singer because she has to be a good singer to sing that poorly. She is consistently like the same amount sharp on every note the entire time she's singing.
She did do such a good job, though, of not singing well.
Of being a bad singer.
And she's so young that I was like, does she think she's being interesting because she's moving around so much and like winking and stuff?
That has
but everyone
to be
around
on purpose.
Her is like, whoa, she's so
dude,
bad.
Her wink
and finger can't tell her.
is money.
Yeah.
Them and yeah. then the guy that just dances across the stage with no music. He just pirouettes across the stage and calls it a day. Those are my two highlights.
Yeah. I'm not exaggerating. I shot a wedding this past weekend and one of the guests danced like that guy the entire
Amazing.
Time. For the entirety of Bohemian Rhapsody.
Ooh, that's a long song to do that.
That's exhausting.
It was unbelievable. One of the most incredible moments I've ever been a part of in my life.
Jealous. I'm honestly jealous. Now, the other thing we have to talk about is my favorite song in this movie, Breaking Free.
I feel like that's the song.
Yeah.
That's
the and main We're All one. In This Together are the two biggest bangers from this movie.
Those were the two I could have sang back to you, having only seen this one time 14 years ago. Before I watched last night.
But Breaking Free, besides the fact that they only have a pianist, who, by the way, can I say penis on this show?
Yeah,
dude, did. Kelsey straight up says, penis here, Miss Darbus. I mean, it's just not
I
even,
it.
It's not even close.
Yeah, no, swinging a miss on pianist.
But
that's hard to say.
We're going to ignore the fact that they have a pianist. And yet also have a full band with drums and electric guitars for that song. That song smacks. I mean, fully smacks.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, it's a good one.
I like that song a lot.
Lyrics are
Garbo,
trash.
Garbo trash.
They are but, dog trash.
But such
Don't
a good
need
song.
To begin.
And that brings us, I believe, to the time in which we will rate this movie.
All of This Together is a bop still. And that seemed to be, they had a reunion a few years ago, and that seemed to be like everybody's favorite part.
I bet that
of
dance number had to
process.
Be the coolest thing in the world to do, to be a part of.
So I'm like, okay, cool.
I mean, your closer's got to be big. Everybody knows.
Right.
And that, I feel like, remember when Disney would run commercials that were just clips of their own movies? This one was in there all the time.
This was it.
All the time it was.
Nope.
And one last time, I really can't stress enough how bad Vanessa Hudgens' solo song in the hallway is. It's so bad.
Oh my gosh. It is the worst part of this movie. Hands
down. It sucks so much. We're going to rate this movie using science, the same science that Gabriella used to blow up her science lab so that she could go audition for a musical with her new friend.
Stinky science.
Stinky science. But ours doesn't stink. It's great. It's the scientific cinema scale, and it is as follows. The best thing we can ever say about a movie is own it, don't lend it. Buy that poster.
I forgot to say it. Buy that poster.
The next best thing, that's buy it, followed by rent it, and then stream it. After that is forget it. And last, but certainly least, the worst thing we could ever say about a movie.
God hath forsaken us.
I'll go. This is going to be a rent for me.
It's honestly higher than I expected you to rate it.
I'm trying to be generous. I'm trying to not be a grumpy grouch because I'm kind of a grumpy grouch on a lot of our episodes.
No, sometimes you'll live forever.
I'll rent this one, not because the movie is good, because to be clear, it is definitely, definitely, definitely not a good movie, but it is middle school for me. Middle school and early high school is this, like the clothes, the hairstyles, the everything. And it was a big deal, so we're going to rent it.
Yeah, I'm buying this. I'm ironically buying the poster, but my true rating is buy it. But I actually would have the poster for this somewhere in a home that had room for ironic posters. I actually love this movie. I know that it's not actually good, but it's so fun. It really is fun. It is middle school, bottled, concentrated, and delivered straight into my veins. The music is fun. Zac Efron never ceases to be charming. We didn't talk about him much. And honestly, I think it's because in the grand scheme, it's weak on his part. This movie is, but he's just charming naturally. I loved rewatching this.
Yeah. I'm finding that my rating is kind of, what is the significance of the timestamp for me? Because I didn't have Disney. And so this one, Jordan, you're going to love this, was not as strong to me as Brink. I enjoyed Brink more than I enjoyed High School Musical. And so comparatively, I think High School Musical's a rent for me. I do think, though, that there was a little bit more gravitas to Efron than what my super pump was, which you can't know that if you're not a Patreon member. So
that's nice. It's really nice. That's a good plug there at the end.
What are we doing next week? This is the episode I'm most excited for, maybe in the entire history
of
our
podcast. I'm unbelievably nervous.
More than Avengers Endgame, more than Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker. Feels like my life has been building to this moment.
Next week, we are beginning our streaming of A White Christmas series. And we are starting it with that Lifetime ditty. You've probably heard of it. Feliz Navidad, stolen, yoinked directly from Twixt Our Fingers. So tune in for that. Because, I mean, honestly, we've seen it already. We've full disclosure, to part the curtain here, we're going to finish this episode and immediately record that one. And I can't stop thinking about it.
Yeah, it's a wild time. Wild, wild time for three wild boys.
So true. So true, Dosh. So eloquently put.
I forgot about the name change of the podcast.
The Wild Boys.
It's Three Wild Boys, colon, the podcast.
We stole it
show.
From Steve-O or whoever did that, Johnny Knoxville or whatever. Hey, to end today's episode, I'd love for you to say your name and which clique you would belong to in East High.
Is this the clique we did actually belong to in our high
dealer's
school?
Dealer's Choice,
I'm beginning to be revisionist.
I'm going to say Dealer's Choice.
Okay.
For Two Chunks and a Hunk, I'm Jordan, and it's going to be the cheerleaders. No further information.
Finally, a vector for your boundless enthusiasm.
That's me. Optimistic and enthusiastic.
Then to counter that out, I'll be Doge. I'll be the captain and probably sole member of the Grump Leaders. And I just go behind the cheerleaders, and every time they're like, go team, I'm just going to be like, they're really not that good. Like, if you really think about it, they're not going to win, and it doesn't matter.
Wow, hit your prime at 16. It's all downhill from here. I'm Carter, and to be honest, I was that double dipper. Not a double dizzer, but I would be, I guess you'd call it the Boltons. You know, it's like the guy who played sports, but probably would have rather been in drama class and singing. Yeah. So
you played sports in high school?
Yes.
What'd you play?
I played football and basketball and golf, and I ran track.
Small school.
Small school.
Small school.
That's
big
a dig,
Carter.
And it's also a truth. Yeah. Then I went to a bigger school, a 4A school, and I was like, oh, drama. And just went and did that because nobody cared what I did.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.